Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today, and I thank you for what you've done here and for the way you will continue to lead us. Thank you for the book of Revelation. Thank you for the things that you reveal to us to get our lives ready, our hearts ready for your return. So, Lord, today as we continue to read it, Holy Spirit, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would use your word to transform us and make us ready. And all of God's people say, amen. So last week, I was talking about how to avoid. I will eventually get there to tell you how to avoid spiritual compromise. Okay? And the verse I used last week was Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. It says, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. And then, of course, I think at the end of the message to the seven churches, I'm going to go back again on a little bit on church history to give you a good perspective about church history in the time we are living in. Okay? So the seven churches, letters to the seven churches, you find them in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 7. Chapter 2 and chapter 3. The letters to the seven churches, there are three things that are, you can't negotiate about that. The first one is, each letter was literal. Each church was literal in existence. Okay? If you follow this map, you check out the order. I talked a little bit about that last week. Okay, and then secondly, each church has a message that's relevant to us. Okay, so each of the messages, even today, I'm gonna take some time today to talk about the doctrine of Balaam. Okay, and then the third one was. All right, I guess. So now it's not working. Okay, technology. See if it works, Josh. That was the third one. I had the church. What is it? The third one was the historical. Each church has a history that was significant. Anyhow, the screen is not working. And then last week I had also a church timeline to explain each season. Okay, so the seven churches. We studied Revelation chapter 2, the church of Ephesus, which was in the year of 33 to 100. We studied and we understand that according to church history, the year 33, that's when the Pentecost began. The Holy Spirit came. And then the year of 100, that was the death of the last apostle. Okay? So we're talking about. It's unfortunate. You might have to restart ProPresenter when it froze like this. And then came in chapter 2, the message to Smyrna. From that map, we saw the period for Smyrna was 100 to 312. 180 was the end of apostolic age, and 312, one of the major events was when the emperor declared Christianity was the state religion. You know, and then of course that leads us to the church of Pergamos. And that's where we've been in the past 3 weeks talking about Pergamos. And then one of the things that really characterized the church in Pergamos, it was when the emperor issued an order that Christianity was the state religion. So therefore, Christians around that time had what we call an elevated status. Well, it's just like the emperor, you know, he decided, you know, Christianity is it. But then during that time, you had some Christians that just were being Christians because that's what the emperor said, you know. I mean, during that time also, you didn't have genuine Christians. Just think about it right now. It's not a popular thing to be a Christian. It takes backbone. It takes It takes being filled of the Holy Spirit, I mean burn for God, to be out there and talk about Jesus. Social media, even some of your friends. See, during that time, between 312 and 600 and 680, that's the time the Christians were being protected. So then, a lot of people wanted to be Christians. Why? Because they didn't want to die. Now, previous season during Smyrna, 100 and 312, it wasn't the case. The emperor was killing Christians, you know? So only those that were willing to die for the gospel were believers. Now, the next season, 312 to 606, the church was flooding with believers. And then that leads us to 606 to 1517. Now, 1517 AD, that's when in church history we got what we call the Protestant Reformation, where, you remember, if you studied, Martin Luther object the Catholic Church, okay? Because especially Martin Luther, he reject. I mean, we don't have time to get. I encourage you guys, go and do your research on some of those dates, especially. You know, Martin Luther, he reject the Catholic doctrine. You know, because around that time they promote. I mean, still today they promote what we call everybody come to God through one man, which was the Pope. I mean, the priest. Still today. Okay? But Jesus, what does the Bible says? There's no other mediator. You don't need a man. The word says to confess your sin to one another and to pray for one another, you'll be healed. But listen to me. You don't need a priest to take you to God. You know? I mean, back in the days, and there might be even a time where this people are going to feel offended if they hear me saying that. We're not talking bad about the Catholic Church. It's whatever. Whatever they do, that's what they do. I was talking to someone, and they said, here in this church, we encourage you to worship God. Talking about basic 101, lift up your hands, bowing down. I mean, dancing for the Lord. That's basic worship 101. But you know, when you study church history, some of the things you don't do in Catholic Church. Okay, you don't raise your hands. Everybody comes and you stand straight. You don't kneel. You do your thing. You listen to the priest. You see, that's not the gospel. Jesus is it for you and I. We don't need somebody else to lead us. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it in 1 John, I believe. It says, as long as you have the Holy Spirit, you don't need anybody to teach you. Why am I putting so much emphasis on you listening to the voice of the Lord? You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus so you can hear him when he talks. Because at times when you face your trials and tribulation, I am not going to be available. I'm not there every day for you. But the Holy Spirit is a constant help in times of need. You see, in 1517, also that's when the Protestant church break from the Roman Catholic. And then you move down to Sardis. Each time, right now I'm in Pergamos. Maybe I'll stop right there. But something very, very interesting will happen in 1780, where the church in Philadelphia starts from the Great Awakening. I pray. I said, Lord, bring us another awakening. Awake our hearts. Burn our hearts for what's burning yours. Burn our hearts for more of you. You know, I pray that people don't put God in the back burner. You know, if I have time for God, I tell you, you better get time. Make time for God. Because at the end of the day, that's the only thing that will matter. Okay? And then, you know, unfortunately, the church in Philadelphia from 1750 till probably, I would say till the rapture, we are part of the church in Philadelphia. But what had happened in the 1900, that's when what we call the season for the church in Laodicea, the church split. The church in church history, it split where what they call the church in Philadelphia, they invite what they call the doctrine of paganism. So we stop preaching the word of God. We start adopting man-made rules. And right now, be aware, because we have the world doctrine in our churches. The world's doctrine is in our churches. Nobody wants to hear sound doctrine. I come here, I start talking about sin. Unless your heart is after God, you're going to think, man, I'm crazy. I start talking about, forgive people. I'm going to challenge you to serve God. I mean, you have time. Just think about it. If you would be honest and generous with God and paying God tithe every day, you would need 2 hours and 40 minutes a day. If God would be this woolly, how some religion make him out to be, we would need 2 hours and 40 minutes to spend with him. If God would be, you know what? You got to pray in the morning. You got to, certain religion. That's why other religion, they laughed at us. Other religion, they look at Christians. They're like, well, why would I want that? I don't know if you ever study or watch some of the Muslim, their devotion to their gods. Their devotion to their gods. But then us, we're like, oh, it's God. Hey, what's up, God? And you wonder, where's the power? Where's the thing that's changing my life? Where's the fire? Well, if God is in the back list, if I have time, what will you expect? I mean, if you are religious, check out your religion compared to other religion. Check out your devotion. Just your devotion. Check out how devoted are you. And you look at other people, you see, man, they worship Buddha, right? They worship, I believe, now, this is my personal conviction, okay? I believe in stretches, it's good to do stretches, but I think all of us should be aware about yoga. Now, I'm not, I know that's a very touchy subject I touch right there. But you see people opening up themselves to spirits. They're opening themselves up to spirit in the hand of trying to be relaxing. Why don't you try to relax in the presence of the Lord? Why don't you try to stretch? Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for my back. Thank you for my knees, Lord. Father, I thank you, I'm sorry, yes, oh yes. Jesus, 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 Jesus. So what am I doing here? I'm stretching. Why don't we do that? Why don't we have a service where we come and soak in the presence of the Lord for 1 hour? Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. We bless your name. That what am I doing right now? I'm stretching my back. I didn't stretch this morning, so this is my stretch. But guys, seriously, check out your devotion. Be aware, because during the 1750 and the 1900, the church split. And you've got paganism, the wolves of the world, leading our churches. And then you have Christians in the name of open-minded, being open-minded. We take this, we do this with it. And everybody's trying to find something to create some kind of appeasing message. We are doomed without the Word of God. We have nothing without the Word of God. The Word of God leads us to the Holy Spirit. Now, open your Bibles in Revelation chapter 2. I tell you, this map right here is so overwhelming. I mean, I'm spending days, and I probably cannot do it justice because I am not a teacher. I'm more like a preacher, verse by verse. But I think we're going to try in our home groups to talk about it so it can make sense. Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. It says, actually, verse 12. Write this letter to the angel of the Lord, of the church, in Pergamum. This is the message from the one with the sharp two-edged sword. I know that you live in a city where Satan has his throne. Yet you have remained loyal to me. Loyal. Where is your loyalty? Are you loyal to God? My challenge to you, find a group that's, I tell you, sometimes I'm going to go back there again. It's not because I lead home groups. You need community. You need community. You'll never have time to be in prayer, to fast, seek for the Lord. You'll never have time. Your flesh, just the flesh doesn't, until your flesh is surrounded. I mean, yes, surrounded. Surrendered. Until your flesh is surrendered, your flesh will always scream and kick when it comes to the things of God. It says, you refuse to deny me even when Antipas was my faithful witness. You know, Antipas here is the only, this is the only time they mention it. But something I want us to look right here. The Lord Jesus mentioned his name for his faithfulness. Could Jesus say this about us? Could Jesus say, man, you know what? Mary, I saw your faithfulness. I saw how people were making fun of you. But I saw how you never renounced me. I saw how, even if it's people laugh at you, but I saw how you make a bold stand. Just think about it. Do we live in the city of Satan right now? I mean, you're like, living in the city of Satan? Well, of course, Satan is the prince of this world. He rules. His reign will come to an end. But God's calling to the faithful one. Verse 14 says, but I have a few complaints against you. You know, and last week I actually talked about that a little bit. One of the things that characterized the seven churches is they all have, I think I have that slide, if you could bring, okay, there it is. It says similarity in the seven letters to the seven churches. All letters begin with the special title of Jesus. And all addresses the angel of the pastor of the church. They all begin with Jesus acknowledge or knowing their works. All contain either a commendation or a complaint. You know, right there, there's something I forgot to mention last week. And I believe all of us can learn from this. You know, I've heard someone says, before you make a withdrawal, you make sure you make a deposit. Okay, you don't just use your debit card like that. You make sure you have got the money. But for us, sometimes it's so easy to be critical-minded. We complain about someone else. But here's a good example Jesus gave us. Before you go out and tell someone what they're doing wrong, find something good they're doing. You know, instead of going to my children and be, you know, you're not doing this, you're not doing, just think about the things they're doing good. You see, that's how Jesus functioned with us. Jesus will never come to you saying, man, you do this, you do that, bad person. No. Jesus will always honor you. See, when you hear the voice of condemnation, check it out. This is not God. God doesn't condemn you from coming before him. He's a good father. He gives us direct access. We can come to him dirty, you know, broken. You know, Luke 15. He ran to me. That's a good example. You know, and all of the letters, they all close with illustration to Jesus' second coming. And all of the letters also close with special promise or reward to the overcomers. All close with the same challenge. He who has ears to listen, let them hear. But I have this complaint against you. You have tolerated some among you whose teaching is like that of Balaam. And what did he do? Balaam showed Balak how to trip up the people of Israel. He taught them to sin by eating food offered to idols, and by committing sexual sin right there. You know, and I want to take some time, maybe let's say 10 minutes, and talk about what is the doctrine of Balaam. Now, homework for you this week. I read it yesterday, and I was just like, man, I wish I could. We're going to read it in our home groups. But your homework this week is Revelation. I mean, you're going to read 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. Write it down. Jude, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. Jude 1, verse 11. Numbers chapter 22. And then you're going to read Numbers chapter 31, verse 8. Numbers 25, verse 1 to 9. That's fast. Maybe Josh, you can put that list on there for me, please. It's Numbers 22. Okay, can you write them down? Numbers, just put that list. Numbers 22, 2 Peter 15, 2:15. Numbers 31, verse 8. Numbers 25, verse 1 to 9. Jude chapter 1. Did I say that? Jude 1, verse 4 to 11. Leviticus 20, 26. 1 Peter 1, verse 2. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. So, did you get them, Josh? Okay. I'll send them to you guys. I'll send them to you. In Revelation chapter 2, 14, what we just read, the church of Pergamum Jesus really gave it to them. He's like, man, you guys, the complaint I have for you, you tolerate the doctrine of Balaam. What was the doctrine of Balaam? You're going to read it from the Bible, Numbers chapter 22. You're not going to stop reading once you start. It's a great story. What was the story? The story was, you know, the people of Israel, the reputation that was going around, other nations start hearing that these people, when they come through, their God give them victory. So therefore, Balak knew that he would have to face Israel. So then he called one of the prophets, which was at that time Balaam. So he called Balaam and he said, you know what? I'm going to pay you a lot of money. I'm going to pay you a lot of money. And what I want you to do, I want you to curse the Israelites. When I read this yesterday, I realized, you know, if God bless you, no one can curse you. If God is for you, no one can be against you. Come on, somebody. When the Lord opens a door for you, no one can close it. But at the same time, when a door is closed, and it's the will of the Lord for that door to remain closed, don't try it. I'm like, you know what, Lord? I know who I am. I know God is with me. So therefore, I'm not going to be afraid. You know what happened in that story in Numbers chapter 2, chapter 22? Balaam, he was perverted. He tried to sell his talent to Balak because he heard a lot of money. I'll give you fortune. And then he went in consult with the Lord. God says, don't go because my blessing is with the Israelites. So therefore, no one can curse them. So Balaam at that time, he sent the messengers back to Balak saying, you know what? God says, I'm not coming because those people, don't waste your time. They're blessed people. So, Balak sent messengers back to Balaam saying, don't worry, this time I'm going to double your price. Just come and curse. Do you know your words, your mouth has power to curse and bless? Do you know there are people right now, their life is still in misery because someone professed or confessed a malediction or a curse. Malediction is a curse. A curse over their lives. That's why I pray, I hope each of you, you rebuke the curse over your life. Because, sometimes there are people who just don't like you because they just don't like you. They're miserable people. And they curse you. But the promises we have, because I am blessed, I am the one the Lord has blessed. I am the one the Lord has blessed. I'm the one that, I mean, I have a song like that. Okay, Coin, I have a song like that. Oh, this is our song. You remember that song when we play a game? Yeah, that's right. I have a song when I win, when I'm playing game, when I win, I play that song. I am the one the Lord has blessed. But I win most of the time, okay? Unless it's a bad day, all right? Then I don't play that song, all right? But you are the one the Lord has blessed. So here, the complaint here, you think, God, Jesus is saying, man, I have this complaint for you. Because in this church, the church in Pergamos, you guys open your door for the doctrine of Balaam. So long story short, Balaam went to Balak and he tried. Balaam would open his mouth to curse the Israelite. Blessing would come. Oh, these people, they're blessed. These people, they will succeed. I'm like, I mean, it's such a good story. I mean, finally, Balaam was just like, King Balak, I can't curse these people. Why? Because they're blessed. But then, Balaam, which he was supposed to be a prophet of God, but because he was perverted, he counseled Balak. He said, you know what to do? You've got a bunch of beautiful women. That's it. Those guys, I mean, just sent those women to them. That's why if you can control your sexuality, you can control you. I mean, I tell you, your eating and your sexuality. I mean, some people think, well, I got to get married to control my sex. I tell you, no, it doesn't work. You have to master your own body. If you can control power, if you can control that, if you can control your tongue, that's why the world is the way it is. It's a pervert world. So Balaam gave that advice to the king, and exactly what happened. The king sent the women. Balaam was a prophet, but he was willing to use God's given talent for illicit purposes, even though he knew that God was not pleased with it. When I read this verse in Revelation, I said, Lord, I make a plea. I will not tolerate the doctrine of Balaam in our church. I will not. I say, if somebody's going to throw me away, I want them to throw me away with this. You know, don't throw the dirty water. Don't throw it away with the baby, right? Remember this? I say, if someone's going to discard me as a preacher, if someone's going to discard me as a pastor, I want you to discard me with this. You're going to be like, man, he preached the word of God. Well, let's kill him. Let's, you know, stone him. Okay, let's go, baby. Oh, yeah, I'm ready. If someone's looking for a church that is based on the word of God, this is it. I want to stay true to this. God, every day, listen, every day, the more I read. I mean, you're like, man, Pastor, you've been in Pergamos for a couple weeks now. I'm like, okay, this is the doctrine that Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking to the church. He's like, man, I've got this complaint. You tolerate the doctrine of Balaam. The doctrine of Balaam, what is it? Balaam chose to promote falsehood for financial gain. That's why I pray that the Lord will call people that serve in this church. Yeah, Paul said the person that gives his time for the ministry should profit from it. So therefore, since I'm the pastor, I should be taken care of financially. But that's not my priority. Nobody can fire me because I'm hired by Jesus. Oh, yeah. Because my priority number one is not the dollar sign. I'm a plumber, okay? I can make a lot more money being a plumber and still being a pastor too. Because I am called. So therefore, if I am called, nobody can come here and telling me, well, Pastor, you know what? You don't talk about the Roe versus Wade. You know, that's the thing. You don't talk about the Roe versus Wade. We don't talk about, you know, Pastor, you don't talk. I try to be very off social media with my personal conviction when it comes to politics. But do you know we have to fight for our country? You know we have to fight for justice? I hate it that this country is so divided in our mind.
We're not that divided, really. We all bleed red. We all created wonderfully, beautifully. No one is better than you. I am not better than anybody else. I tell you, don't let society and just form your mindset to think, well, if you drive this car, if you live this. Work hard. This is the land of prosperity. This is the land of opportunity. You feel you're poor? Get two jobs and stop buying things on credit. That's it. I mean, it's good to get a degree. It's good to get a college degree or a bachelor, doctorate, and all that stuff. But you know how the system works? You graduate, and they throw you in school, and then when you're done 4 years later, you owe $300,000. That's slavery. And you're talking about being slave? You know, right now, our society needs plumber, electrician, people that can fix appliance. But who wants to work? Everybody wants to kill the breeze. And you're talking about poverty? Remember, I have a different perspective on poverty. Sometimes I wish I could take a lot of people on a third world country and show them what life is really is. The doctrine of Balaam. We will not promote false teaching. You know, putting this idea together gives a clear view of the doctrine of Balaam. It's the attitude that one can be fully cooperative with the world and still serve God. The doctrine of Balaam is the idea that we can still be involved in the world. Friday night, we go to the bars and drink and have a good time. You know, and you almost sleep upside down Friday night, and then you think Sunday morning, yeah, your back's going to hurt. Of course you're going to have a headache. Of course you're not going to want to come. You can't sleep with God and sleep with the Sunday morning and sleep with the world Monday night, Tuesday night. That doesn't work. Where's your devotion? The Buddhists, they don't do that. The Muslims, and check out their devotion. Just look at how devoted they are to their God. We put God in the back burner. Oh, if ever I have time for God. And then you find out you never got, 8 weeks later, you never have time for God. Never have time to pray. Never have time. You'll never have time. You got to be devoted to Jesus. Amen. And this is the doctrine of Balaam we're talking about in Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. It is the attitude that one can be fully cooperative with the world and still serve God. That doesn't work. Because a stream of water doesn't give clean water and dirty water at the same time. It doesn't work. I can't speak dirty and come to church. Hallelujah. It doesn't work. Praise the Lord. You know, you see people that call themselves Christians. Every other word is an F word. We serve a holy God. Balaam, the doctrine of Balaam corrupts the gospel. It corrupts the church. It teaches the people to compromise. You see now, compromise. That's why the church in Pergamos was called the compromising church. Nobody wants to talk about fornication. Nobody wants to talk about remaining pure until you're married as a young person. Nobody's talking about, you know, be aware of pornography. I mean, it's not just young women or young men or older men. I tell you, this is something we all have to be aware of about that. Nobody talks about backstabbing. I say, you know, we read it. I can't remember who said that. It says, small mind talks about people, right? Small mind talks about people, but great mind talks about ideas. If you get together with your friends, you're always talking about people. That means you have, just tell them, man, you know what? We need to repent. We have small mind because we're always talking about people. If someone confessed something to you, that remained confidential. You don't go and tell your friends. And that's why people, they despise the church. But thank God, there's a new generation. And you and I are part of that generation. Amen? We're part of that generation. The doctrine of Balaam teach people. I mean, I like this. It said the doctrine of Balaam teaches compromise, also wanting Christians to forget their call to be separate from the world. Leviticus chapter 20, 26, I'll send those verses to you. God called us to be, but not of the world. We're not from the world. So the world should look at my life and be like, okay, I see, he's different. Don't I have problem in my marriage? I do. But her and I, because we both choose Jesus, we choose to forgive, we talk about it. Friendship. You see people leave churches hurt and they go church hopping, and because they never take care of their hurt, they go somewhere else closed up. You know what? I just come here. I'm not opening up my heart. I don't trust people. It doesn't work. If you're doing the gospel, you need to be healed and allow people in. Do not be easily offended. I mean, some people, they're just, man, so easily offended. I mean, you don't have to try to offend them. They get offended. You don't have to try. They get offended. Don't be that way. The doctrine of Balaam makes believers indistinguishable from the unbelieving world. It makes them different. The doctrine of Balaam makes it compromise our mind to attract the world. You know? If I want to grow this church, I got to compromise the word. I got to compromise certain things. When people come here, I don't want to offend them. That's the doctrine of Balaam. The doctrine of Balaam is also a belief that a little sin doesn't hurt. No, it doesn't hurt. A little sin, no. As a matter of fact, the doctrine of Balaam even categorizes sin. Big sin, middle sin, and small sin. And then you have extra small sin. Let me tell you this. Can somebody help me out? Sin is sin. And sin separates us from the glory of God. Sin is sin. The doctrine of Balaam compromised the truth. Oh, that doesn't hurt. Oh, yeah, you can abuse the money. The doctrine of Balaam calls you to logic with the word. Be aware of the doctrine of Balaam in your life. I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time for home group. I don't have time for prayer. I'm tired. I don't have time. I was raised Catholic, so I don't raise my hands. You know, doing worship, I was raised Catholic. You know what you're saying? Just listen to what you're saying. Have you been set free? Have you been delivered? I was raised Catholic, but who you are right now? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? The doctrine of Balaam. A person who follows the doctrine of Balaam is willing to compromise his belief for the sake of, in French they call that renommée, to be known. To be known, to please, appease to people. The doctrine of Balaam causes you to compromise your faith. Oh man, if I stand up for the truth, people are not going to like me. Oh, I pray that you're looking more for God's likeness. I mean, yeah, that's how you say it. I pray that you look for God to like you more. Approbation, that's it. Look for God's approbation than the world's approbation. Because at the end of the day, the world's not going to do anything for you. You know what they're going to do? They throw you away. Look at the stars. Look at the stars, man. Look at the when I say stars, the famous people. I mean, the world, take them up. And the moment they screwed up, the world just threw them and threw them away. The same group of people that praised them, talks good about them. But when they need support, Because they were having a bad day. They got drunk and got into an accident. Thank God they didn't die. Man, I tell you, the news, social media explode. They don't cover them. They don't protect them. They don't acknowledge maybe they were just having a bad day. They don't acknowledge maybe those people, yeah, even though they're in front of cameras all the time, but they're human as well. They don't protect them. You see, us, kingdom citizens, we don't act like that. That's why when someone in our midst is suffering, we don't expose them. When someone is weak, when they're dealing with sin, we don't expose them. We don't talk about them. We cover them. We pray for them. We make sure they know we stand with them. The doctrine of Balaam. In practical term, the teaching or the doctrine of Balaam is the view that Christians can or even should compromise their conviction for the sake of popularity, money, sexual gratification, or personal gain. You know, there's a sad statistic out there. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine. He says 66% of pastors are having an affair right now. Leaders in the church are having an emotional affair. Can you imagine? Sometimes it's not, I mean, this should break our hearts. Sometimes it's not necessarily with other people. I mean, if you're married, you shouldn't be gratifying yourself. Masturbation, I know, this is, oh man, that's another big subject where the so-called smart people telling you it's okay to masturbate yourself. It's not. It's not. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is just the word of God. I'm not preaching my personal conviction. You think, man, Revelation, the book of Revelation, I'm going to stop right there because there's so much more. The letters to the church of Pergamos. We will not tolerate the doctrine of Balaam. And I think I'm going to give, I don't think the worship team will come. I'm going to sit on the piano and I want to take 5 more minutes. It's 12 o'clock. We're going to eat. And just give you a time to reflect on this message. If there is anything, any area in your life, you can pinpoint the doctrine of Balaam. If there's not, just be aware of the doctrine of Balaam. If you're good, that's good. Praise God. But if there is some place you need to repent, won't you do that?